Handling conflict is one of the most difficult aspects of any manager's job. In the 30 years I've worked with C-level executives, I've noticed that playing King Solomon to warring colleagues has gotten even harder, thanks to the anger management programs designed to eradicate intense emotions in the workplace. Too many of these programs deliver the message, just don't get angry, usually after someone has already had a bout of rage. But telling people not to feel anger or sadness or frustration or stress doesn't actually make those intense feelings go away. It backfires. You can never legislate good behavior long term, since all that does at best is achieve is behavioral compliance with the rules. At worst, it intensifies a pending outburst of natural, normal emotions. It turns out that adults are, in this respect, not much different from toddlers. Push a kid to do something and he'll resist. Psychologist Leon Festinger, working in the mid-1950s, began the formal study of how we come to feel what we feel in what is known as cognitive dissonance research. He might as well have called his research, "If you force people to comply, they never internalize attitudes consistent with their actions." Festinger exposed volunteer subjects to two experimental conditions in his studies. Both groups were given loathsome tasks. For example, sorting spools of thread, and then asked to tell a waiting subject who would be tested after they were finished, actually a confederate of the experimenters, that the task was enjoyable, stimulating, fun, and the like. 50% of the subjects were paid $20, a fortune in 1956, to advocate a viewpoint they didn't believe, while the remaining 50% of the subjects were given only $1, then, as now, bupkis. In these so-called force compliance studies, Festinger and countless other researchers found that when performance inducements were excessive, that is, you were made an offer you could not refuse, subjects' views about the tasks they performed were as expected, as measured by post-experimental surveys, negative. However, when performance inducements were minimal, $1, subjects' attitudes about the loathsome tasks changed to move in the direction of their statements. Why would this be so? If you have no explanation for acting a particular way, "I'd never lie for just a measly dollar," you account for your behaviors by attributing it or them to internal attitudes. But when forced to behave a certain way, anyone would fib for $2. The impetus for your action is obvious and external, so you need not infer that an internal orientation of yours caused what you did. This process is why mice forced to behave when the cat is patrolling play like crazy when that cat is away. Ditto for kids in playgroups and workers under constant surveillance versus those who work in companies that employ honor systems. Abstaining from something that is forbidden is not the same thing as not desiring to engage in it. You create well-socialized people who respect others by either 1. Providing resources to help them resolve antisocial feelings, or 2. Providing skills trainings for coping with stressful circumstances. HR managers seeking to reduce the impact of anger and other intense emotions at work should remember that a human emotion, once unleashed, is like toothpaste. You can never get it back into the tube. Thus, it's infinitely more adaptive to use what's out there as best you can, rather than struggling undo what's already been done.